I appreciate the good blessing of the Lord. Open your Bibles to our text verse that we've been looking at for the last few Sundays in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And then I want you to find in the Old Testament the book of Job. If you open your Bibles right in the middle, you'll find Psalms. If you'll back up, you'll find the book of Job. Job and chapter number 37 is what we're going to look at. And Job chapter number 37. And then I want to read the other text first. I hope you'll be back in the evening service tonight. On Wednesday nights, I have been dealing with what is Jesus like. Closer to him than more like him is our theme. So what is he like? Most people have a concept. I hope you have a biblical concept of what Jesus is like. And the Holy Spirit of God will make that real in our life, that we would be like him. It's the work of the Spirit of God, of course. But we started off dealing with the subject of meekness. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. And we talked about that on Wednesday night. So tonight, Tim's going to be preaching on Wednesday night, continue a good series that he was doing. But on tonight, I want to kind of finish our thoughts on meekness. I hope you'll be here in the evening service tonight at 6:30 for that as well. Notice in this wonderful passage of Scripture, the Holy Ghost of God accounts for us the account of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews that came to Jesus by night. And he said to the Lord, he said, we know that you've come from God, that no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In the Bible, you have what's called types. That is, there are certain things that illustrate biblical truth. There are several types for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. The lamb is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a sacrificial lamb, a surrendered lamb, and sufficient lamb. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come to him. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bright and morning star. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. But then also the Holy Spirit of God. There are several emblems or types of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. One of them is water. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And the wind is a type of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus had this big question mark, how can a man be born when he's old? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, it's only by the Spirit of God, only the Spirit of God. And he said, it's like the wind. Now, with that, we've preached on that, and then we talked about the wind being a mighty rushing wind. Last week, that mighty rushing wind, the Spirit of God came. That might speaks of his power, but the Greek word itself means that which lifts and carries, a mighty wind. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ died that we might have everlasting life, and the Spirit of God applies that to our life. And David said, he lifted me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a solid ground. He established my goings. Now, how does he do that? It's the Holy Spirit of God that redeems us and enters us, and he lifts us up out of the miry clay, and he sets our feet on a solid rock, and then he establishes our going by his very presence. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You say, Brother Billy, I'd get saved, but I can't live the Christian life. Neither can I. Nobody in this building, nobody in the sound of my voice can live the Christian life. It's not neither easy nor hard. It is impossible to live the Christian life apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. But now, I want you to look today at another thought in regard to the work of the Holy Spirit of God as the wind. Will you look with me, please, in your Bible, in the book of Job. And you're familiar, if you are, with the book of Job. You know that Job had some friends who came, and they were not very good comfort to him. But we don't want to discount everything they said, because in there is some real truth. One of those is in this passage of Scripture this morning. I want to read to you. I want you to look at verse number 21, Job 37. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Just think about that thought for a few minutes. He said, men can't see the bright light which is in the clouds because of the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Talking about the clouds. What are you talking about? I want us to bow together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God help me. God, I ask God for your anointing. I want to thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And our Father, I pray this morning you speak to hearts. Our Father, in this great congregation and the vast media audience, there are those, our Father, who have clouds in their life. Some are under the cloud, our Father, of despair, disillusionment. Some, our Father, of great sorrow. There's a cloud over them. And our Father, I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God this morning would dispel the clouds. I pray this morning that you would cleanse the clouds. I pray, God, that you'd speak. God, I bow before you and I confess that there's no good thing in me, and apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. But God, I pray this morning for liberty and power. Please, God, take away everything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God in me and through me this morning. And God, there are men and women, boys and girls today who may stand on the edge of eternity to be in heaven forever or hell forever. And I pray, God, now that, Lord, that you speak to hearts. And for those who are Christians, our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd speak to them. And God, that the Holy Ghost of God would do a work in their heart and life today as well. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this very figurative speech here, he said that men cannot see the bright light that is in the clouds. But he said the wind comes and cleanseth the way. If you watch Greg Fischel or one of the other weathermen, you'll find out that they, when they talk about it, they say, we are going to be in a clearing pattern today. It's going to clear up. And whether you, it's hard to realize now, but when you came in this morning, it was misty and cloudy and gloomy. But did you know the sun's shining just as bright right now as it has on the most beautiful day we've ever had in North Carolina? It's still there. And by the way, the sky is still Carolina blue up there. I just threw that in a little bit for Brad. Sun's shining right now, but if you go out, you can't see it because there's a cloud there, a cloud there. But he says a wonderful thing in this passage of Scripture. He said, but the wind comes and cleanses the cloud. It moves the cloud out. When you look at the weather patterns and you have cloudiness here, the weatherman will say, we've got a high pressure front coming this way. And he said, it's going to push the clouds out of the way. Well, really, if you're aware, when you recognize it, there's a wind coming from the west. And what that wind does is it blows the clouds away. And that was already there, the beautiful sun, you'll be able to see it at that time. But many folk today are living under a cloud in their heart and in their mind. They have that cloud. In this passage of Scripture, it said that the clouds are cleansed and then they could see. See, there's a verse in the New Testament that parallels this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a list of what we call the Beatitudes. In chapter 5 and verse 8, he says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that cleansing that the wind does is that purification, removing that cloud so that you can see God. People say, I don't believe in God. I don't see God. Listen, you have people that you know that are lost or they're atheists or agnostics, and they say we can't see it. Well, they can't see it. They just cannot see it. They think you're an idiot for believing there's a God, but you've seen it. You've seen what God's done in your life, but they've never seen it because the Bible says that they are blinded. Their heart is blinded. But if the wind were ever to blow on them,
and it had not been for the wind blowing on you and touching you and removing the cloud, and God allowed you to see it. The song the choir sang this morning, it said, open up the heavens and show us thy glory. God did that for you. You had a blindness on your heart. You had it over your mind. But the Holy Spirit of God, the wind of heaven, came blowing. Nicodemus couldn't see it. But when the wind began to blow, he could see it. When the wind came and drove the clouds away, he could see it. There are three Greek words that have to do with this thought of cleansing. Cleansing, he said, the clouds come and they're cleansed away. Look in your Bible, please, if you will. I have you to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, I want you to look at chapter number 7, and I'll read this for you. You can write some of these scriptures down this morning if you don't want to turn to all of them. But in 2 Corinthians, here's the use of the first Greek word I'm interested in this morning in that regard, and it's in verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. Now, what happened? This church at Corinth was having some problems. There were some problems with sin in that congregation. And God did a work through the Holy Spirit of God, and they got right with the Lord over it. And so here he's giving an account of that, and he's explaining to them what happened. Notice in verse 11 again, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. Now, what's the difference? Look back up at verse number 9. I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. He said there is a godly sorrow that brings genuine repentance. Sometimes people get caught in sin and they weep and they cry and they, a lot of crocodile tears, and they say, I'm sorry for what I did, but they're really sorry for the fact they got caught. Yeah. But when the Holy Ghost of God deals with a person, there is genuine sorrow for sin, but it brings about genuine repentance and forgiveness and cleansing. That's what they experienced. And so in verse 11, he said this, he said that you sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this manner. The work of the Holy Spirit of God is that of clearing. It cleared the clouds out. There's going to be a clearing pattern, the weatherman says, because the wind's going to come and blow the clouds away. And thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit of God in cleansing. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, he talks about this idea of thinking. And he says, if there's anything good, anything of honor support, he said, if there's anything pure, anything that's been cleansed, he said, think on that. You think about that. The devil will come to you and he'll point to you every little issue in your life. And what you ought to do, he said, you think on this idea of being pure. I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God his blood has cleansed me from my sin. You and I are to be clear, to be pure. How do you, what's the Bible say? There are three admonitions of the Bible about this idea of cleansing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. One is in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. And he said, keep thy heart pure. That is your inward cleansing. Inside of you, in your spirit, in your heart, there must be cleansing. And it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit of God, by your yielding to him, let him do that work. That is the inward cleansing. And then in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, he uses the same Greek word, and he says this, that they might behold your chaste conversation. Chaste means clear or pure. Conversation means lifestyle. He said that there ought to be clearness on the inside, pureness on the inside, and there ought to be pureness on the outside in your daily behavior. Now, some people try to do it the other way around. They try to say they're going to live right. And so they quit everything they perceive to be sin outwardly. But the Lord Jesus Christ said of that crowd, the Pharisees, he said, you're like whited sepulchres. They were pretty and white, clean on the outside. But inside, he said, you're full of dead men's bones. for you to reform your life and change your life and quit drinking and quit doing this, that, and the other, and just on your own volition or your own will, and to try to live the Christian life is not sufficient. There has to be a change on the inside. There has to be purity of heart first and then purity of life. But God expects both of them on our behalf. And it's all the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Without me, you can do nothing. Let me show you the extreme of this. Go over to the book of 1 John. And if you want to make a note again, just make a note. But I want to look in 1 John in chapter number 3. And listen to what he said. He's talking in regard to the return of the Lord. You know, most of you have got company coming, you'll clean up. Mama used to do that. Lord, we'd have people coming. Mama would clean from the front yard to the backyard, all the way through the house. Everything was clean. She'd sweep under the bed. I'd say, Mama, nobody's going to look under the bed. But she'd sweep under the bed. She'd clean everything because she had company coming. And Jesus Christ is coming too. We need to have a little house cleaning. Personally, we need to be clean. But look what he said in 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse 3. Every man that hath this hope, what is that hope? It is the hope of Jesus' return. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That is that you take the means that God's provided. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And our part in the cleansing process is to be honest with God, to confess it, just to say the same thing about our sin and about our life that he says. And if we'll confess it, he's faithful and just to cleanse us. He does the cleansing. Now, here's the kicker right at the end of it, that we ought to be pure, we ought to be clean. If any man hath this hope in him, he purify himself. Watch this, even as he is pure. You say, Brother Billy, there's no way in the world that I could ever be as pure as Jesus. Oh, sure there is. Because you see, nobody's going to go to heaven unless they are as pure as Jesus is. Nobody. No. Nobody gets to go to heaven unless they're just as pure as Jesus. You say, how do you get that? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's explained to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, from the time he was a young boy, had been trying to wash the outside. He'd been trying to do his lifestyle to pattern it after the Old Testament. And he was one of those that Jesus was talking about, clean on the outside, white, but full of dead men's bones. He didn't know the new birth. He said, I have done everything I can do, and you're saying I still need to be born again? I'm still not good enough to go to heaven? Exactly right. The Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And it said that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. But you can be as pure as he is. How's that? The Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash you whiter than snow. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way it can be that way. But God demands that. Purity on the inside, purity on the outside, even as he is pure. That's the first Greek word for pure. It has to do with this idea of clearing or purity. The second Greek word is in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. And he said of them that they should be sincere without offense. And the word, same Greek word that other places is translated pure. We're to be pure. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, it says you have to have a pure mind. That has to do with being real and genuine. That which has been tested by fire and found to be genuine, pure. It's kind of like putting the gold ore through the heat of the furnace and it comes out pure gold. It's genuine. It's genuine. And he said your purity must be genuine. It must be real. It must be authentic because you're going to face the fire. You're going to face the trial. And he said, only those who have real sincere, real genuine, real purity are going to stand the test. The only ones who can do it. I don't know if you've ever been to the state fair or not, and you have this where you go in, you sample wash your hands, you know, and you wash your hands and then they put you under the light. And most people, when they go in, my wife, I think, is the only one that ever went under there. She washed her hand, and it didn't show anything. But most people, they wash their hands, and then when they they put them on that light, you can see their places that really not clean. I mean, just look at it with a natural eye, and you've just gone through the process of the soap and the water, and you think it's perfectly clean, but when it's put under that kind of light, it reveals every defect and every place you didn't wash. I wonder what's going to happen when you stand before a holy God one of these days, under the white light of His holiness, and He expects you to be just as pure as His Son. Is yours going to be genuine? Is it going to be real? Is it going to be something you've tried to do? Is it going to be something you've deceived yourself in? Or will it be real and genuine? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. The only hope you have of heaven is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's real purity. That's real cleansing. And the work of the Holy Spirit of God is to cleanse. He said He cleanses from all unrighteousness. And it has to do with the idea of being genuine or real. The third Greek word that I found has to do with this idea. And that is, it's in John chapter 15. And He said to His disciples, "Now are you clean through the word?" And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says that the saints of God were pure, pure. Now, what does that mean? That word means to be clean inside and out. The first one has to do with clearing or being made pure. Sincerity is the second one. And this one is a state. It's not a process. It is a state. It is something that's a done deal. And He said, "Now are you pure?" You and I are now the sons of God if we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's God the Holy Spirit working in us. You say, "Brother Billy, what about that? What's it mean to be cleaned by the Holy Spirit of God, for Him to clean us and clear us?" I read this verse to you a while ago, but this is an accompanying verse. And it says in Matthew chapters 5, verse 6, He said, "The pure in heart shall see God." If you've had a genuine purifying move of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, if Jesus could say to you that you are clean, it's kind of like that leper, the leper that came, and the Bible said that Jesus touched him and he was made every whit or every bit, you and I would say, every bit whole from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He was completely clean. And this is what that thought is. It is being completely clean. It is a state that God's done something in your life and He's made you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, having done that, you can see God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that you can now love out of a pure heart. The only love motive that is absolutely pure comes out of a heart that's been purified by the Lord. My dear friend, only that kind of love is accepted before the Lord. God is love. And the Holy Spirit of God come in our heart to shed abroad the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. He came into our heart to shed that love abroad. And my dear friend, you can love out of a pure heart. No motive, no selfish thing. You can love people without expecting anything back. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 describes that kind of love. It's called in our King James Bible, charity. And some people want to change that translation of that word charity. But there's really a great difference in that. That word charity here in the Greek word means this: it is that love which gives itself unconditionally with no recompense of reward. And only when you have a pure heart can you love like that. To love without expecting anything back in return. To love the unlovely. To love those who don't love you. And to love without any conditions. To give love without expecting anything in return. That only comes out of a pure heart. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, Paul writes of those who would share the Word of God. He said they are to minister the Word of God and they hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And so if God, the Holy Spirit, does the work, you can see God. If He does the work, you'll have a pure heart and you can love with a pure heart. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God to do this work in you of cleansing, my dear friend, you'll have a pure conscience, a clear conscience. How do you feel about your own life sometime? The devil's an accuser of the brethren, I know that. But my dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God can move in our heart to where we have a clear conscience. We'll be clear in our own mind. It's only the Spirit of God that can blow across our hearts and give us a pure conscience, my dear friend, in that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, not only can we see God if we have a pure heart, not only can we love with pure love if we had that pure heart, not only will we have a pure conscience if we have a pure heart and the Holy Spirit of God, but in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it says we call upon God out of a pure heart. You remember back in the very beginning of this series when we were talking about getting closer to God? I read a passage in the book of Isaiah that said his arm's not short, that he cannot heal, his ear's not deaf, that he cannot hear, but your sins has separated between you and your God. Several years ago, I was reading about the life of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And one time, Charles Spurgeon, he pastored in London, the great Metropolitan Tabernacle, had about 5,000 members. And Dr. Spurgeon was walking down the street of London, and he crossed the street. In the middle of the street, he stopped and bowed his head. And then he began to walk, and one of his members was standing on the sidewalk, and he said, Dr. Spurgeon, you must never do that again. It's dangerous to stop in the middle of the street. He said, oh, but I had to. He said, a cloud came between me and my Savior. Not a physical cloud, not in the sky, but some thought, something crossed his mind, crossed his heart that was ungodly, and he had to stop right then and ask God to purge him and forgive him. And my dear friend, we get things in our life. You're trying to pray for your wife. You're trying to pray for your husband. You're trying to pray for your children. But our prayers are not effective because we're not praying out of a pure heart. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, it says that we call on God out of a pure heart. Holy Ghost of God's done a work in us. My dear friend, thank the Lord for that. He said in James this. He said, pure religion is this, that you would minister to the widows and the orphans in their affliction. And he said, it's pure religion. Only real act of ministry can come out of a pure heart. Anything else is not right. You say, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do this for God. I want to do this for God. But what kind of shapes your heart in? You can't sing in the choir like you ought to. You can't work in the children's church like you ought to. If your heart's not clean and pure. But listen, he said, I'll do that for you. I'll purge it. I'll cleanse it. And it's a matter of our total submission to him and allowing him to do that. But my dear friend, if it's not, well, think about this. I'm going to serve God. But I'm not clean on the inside. I've got thoughts I ought not to have. I have bitterness I ought not to have. I have things in my heart I ought not to have. And so I'm going to try to serve God. Let's go to one of the local restaurants in town. And you know they've got great food. They cook good food. And so the waitress comes out. And she's got this beautiful plate of food. Everything is together. And everything looks great. And you smell the aroma. It smells good. And when she puts the food on the plate, you look at her hands, and her hands are filthy. Maybe they've got sores on them and some type of infection. And she sets that plate down there in front of you, and she's got filthy hands. How many of you would pray over that and eat it anyway? Not many. Because you couldn't accept that type of service. Though you were offering something that was good, she was offering something that was good. You couldn't accept it. And my dear friend, you cannot serve God with dirty hands. If your life's not what it ought to be, you've got it in there. But oh, we ought to have that desire to serve him. And the thing is, he's made it possible for us to have a pure heart. We could have that pure heart if we wanted it. If we let God do it for us, oh, my dear friend, he purifies. And then in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, this is my favorite. I said a while ago, the pure in heart shall see God, and they'll know him, walk with him, and all those other things. But here's the great part. In Revelation 19, verse 8, it said this, that he said he saw a great host, and they were all had on clean white robes. And he said it was the righteousness of the saints. They were clothed in clean just like the same word we've been talking about, same Greek word, clean, having been made clean, and white robes, they stand before God now in righteousness. It says the righteousness of the saints. But you understand and I understand that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. They're clothed now in the righteousness of Christ. He said the bride hath made herself ready, and he has washed us and prepared us that he might present us to himself a bride without spot and without blemish. That's how we'll end up one of these days in the presence of God because of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only perfect one. He's the only one who can do that. Remind you of our text in the book of Job. It said, the wind cometh, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. It is the wind that passeth and cleanseth them. I remember that story of the blind beggar sitting by the roadside, but Jesus passed by and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They tried to get him to be quiet, but the more they told him to be quiet, the more he cried out. And Jesus was passing that way. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know the story. Jesus touched him and he could see. The clouds were rolled away. He could see the sunshine. He could see the Savior. Thank God. And today he sees him face to face for all eternity. My dear friend, because the wind blew. I'm thankful one day that the wind blew in my life. And those of you who are saved, you're thankful that he can do that. Oh, my dear friend, the clouds that are there. But the Holy Spirit of God can come and blow the clouds away. He'll blow away the cloud of doubt. Do you believe the Word of God? You say, well, I'm not sure I do. Well, you must believe the Word of God. You must believe in Christ in order to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You have to believe the Bible. But you can't do it humanly. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But the Holy Spirit of God can blow across you and remove all doubt. And you'll stand on this book and be willing to die. This is the Word of God. You'll believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and you'll know that you have eternal life. These things that are written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. And the only way you're going to know that is when the wind blows. When the Holy Ghost of God blows across your mind and across your heart, he'll remove all doubt. You'll understand that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'll stand on that truth. It won't be something you pumped up in yourself, but something produced by the Holy Spirit of God. He'll blow that cloud of doubt away. He'll blow that cloud of disappointment away. He'll blow that cloud of defilement away. He'll blow that cloud of discouragement away. He'll blow that cloud of defeat away. The Holy Spirit of God can do that. He can blow away the cloud of lust that hovers over your mind now, unforgiving spirit, bitterness, all those things. The Holy Spirit of God can blow the clouds away and the sun come out. My dear friend, he'll do that for you. It'll be a wonderful thing. I was talking to Janet a while ago, and she's had a little problem with aphia. And you know, I had a little problem here a while back, and they put me to sleep because they had to go down my throat and see if I had a blood clot before they would shock me and start my heart back. And so they put me to sleep. I didn't know a thing about it. I knew that when I was wheeled in there, I knew I was having problems. I could tell it. I just didn't feel right, didn't feel like doing anything. But the moment I opened my eyes, none of it was real. I mean, I didn't know any bit of it. I don't remember any of it. But as soon as I opened my eyes, I could tell I was 100% better. Something had happened to me that I didn't have anything to do with. It was a power beyond my control. Bam. Regina said, they came in there and told me that's what they want to do. And I said, I ain't sure I want to do that. And she said, why? I said, I watch too much television. I've seen when they put that thing on a fella and just about that high off the floor, you know, poof, jump up. But I didn't know a thing about it because I was asleep. But what I did, I woke up. And when I woke up, I could see clearly. I didn't have any kind of problem. I felt great. The same thing happened when I got saved. I was dead in trespasses and sin, and the wind came and blew upon me, and my eyes opened, and I could see, And I felt great. It felt like a ton had lifted off of me, and the sun was brighter, the birds were singing. Every cloud had gone away, not just for me, but for every person who's ever experienced the wind and the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll do that for you today. He'll make you 100% pure in the eyes of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's only through Him, only by Him, only by knowing Him as your Savior can you get to go to heaven. But I wouldn't be a member of this church or anybody else's church and trust that membership. I wouldn't trust baptism by anybody. I trust my salvation through the mercy of God and the Holy Spirit of God working in my life. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Thank God for the wind. The wind blows and drives the clouds away, cleanses the clouds. And every cloud, every doubt, every fear, the wind can blow it away. And the sunshine of God's love will shine on you. Would you like that to happen today? Would you like to have a brand new start? Would you like for God to do something in your life that's genuine and real? He'll do it. He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means you. That means me. I'm thankful that God let me do that one day. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit of God that brought me to that place, even where I was willing to. In the day of thy power, He said, thy people shall be made willing. God, the Holy Ghost blew across my soul. He awakened a need in me, and He gave me the will to respond to the offer of salvation by grace and the faith to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But for by grace are you saved through faith, and that in itself, it's a gift of God. Every bit of it was God. That's what Nicodemus couldn't understand. How can these things be? I've done the very best I can do, and you're saying I'm still not good enough to go to heaven? And Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You got to have a brand new start, and that'll only come by the blowing of the wind of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. But the good news is this, here's the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want it, you can have it. If you're a Christian, He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit of God will do that for us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll confess, be honest, say, God, I want to be clean. God, remove everything out of my mind and heart that ought not to be there and confess it before Him. He'll do it for us. Our Heavenly Father, it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Holy Spirit of God, I ask now that You would do Your office work. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for letting me be a part this morning. Thank You for letting me share Your truth. But God, I pray You'd bless the Word to the heart of God's people. I pray, God, that, Lord, You'd purify them. You said through Thy Word, they are made pure. And I pray, God, that, Lord, some may come to know Christ here in the building and in the media audience, and some, our Father, who are Christians, that the Holy Ghost of God has dealt with them genuinely. And God, that they'll want to not have a thing between their soul and the Savior, that they might be able to see God, that they might be able to serve You aright, that they might, out of a pure heart, be able to love like they ought to, that their prayers might be powerful as we call upon God out of a pure heart. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God now do a work, and God will thank You. As we stand with our heads bowed, please let me encourage you this morning. If you're here and you're a Christian and you say, Brother Billy, I feel like I'm so far away from Him. I've lost joy I used to have. I've lost the victory I used to have. I've let things slip in my heart and life that ought not to be there. It may not be something you've done, but something you've not done. You've been neglectful of attending the Word of God or attending the house of God. I don't know what it is, but He does, and the Holy Spirit of God is wonderful about putting His finger on those things. The wind of God will blow across your heart, cleanse you this morning. If you allow Him, He'll blow the clouds away. Every doubt, every fear, He'll cause you to love God, to love His people, to love the church, to love lost souls, if you'd but let Him. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, can I say the Holy Spirit of God, you have a want to in your heart, you want to be saved, you have a desire to be saved, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I invite you right now to respond to His wooing, to His calling. He's not going to deal with you like that if He's not going to save you and give you everlasting life. I invite you now in just a few moments to come. Christians, you come to lead the way if God spoke to your heart this morning. Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. Heavenly Father, once again, I ask in Jesus' name that you'll do in the heart of men and women, boys and girls, what needs to be done. God, I pray that not a thing in my life, a thing in anybody's life, would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray the sweet Holy Spirit of God would put His finger on things in my heart, life that ought not to be there. And the wind of heaven blow upon me, blow the clouds away, that we might see the brilliant sunshine, the brightness that's in the clouds. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to do that now for your people and for those who are not saved this morning.